It was my trips to Place at the Table that came to mind as I read the story about three strangers who show up at the Oak of Mamre, where aging Sarah and Abraham have put up their tent. And if you flip back a page in the story of Genesis to see what happens right before these mysterious guests are greeted, we learn a very different story. It happens in Genesis 17, and this is what happens there. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk with me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between you and me, and I will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant for you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram. You shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations." Right before the story of the meeting of strangers is a covenant between Abraham and Sarah and God. It's one of the most important stories in the Old Testament. In this moment, God chooses two people, and through this family, God will enact the entire story of redemption for the world. God chooses a people and blesses them, will make them great, a multitude filling the earth. The men will receive a sign in their bodies, marking them off, separating them from all the people of the world. From then on, the people of Israel will circumcise in order to be set apart. That might sound wonderful and good, but I want you to hear what's lurking in the shadows of this story. What does it mean to believe you are so special, so important, that God has chosen you among all other nations? What happens if a people come to believe that no one else has what they have? No one is as great as them. What does it mean for our relationships to our neighbors and to the other people who are not like us? It wasn't long ago in the history of the United States that we looked at ourselves as a chosen people in a royal priesthood. We hear this language often in the nationalistic religions of our country, but there are deep roots to this self-perception. At the founding of this country, all the way back in 1630, a preacher named John Winthrop offered a sermon to the people of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. I am a descendant of those first colonists. This is the story that runs in my veins. Here are a few lines from that sermon. "The Lord will be your God and delight to dwell among us as his own people, and will command a blessing on all of our ways, so that we shall see much more of his wisdom and power and goodness and truth than we were formerly acquainted with. We shall find that the God of Israel is among us. When 10 of us shall be able to resist thousands of our enemies, when he shall make us praise and glory, that men shall say of the succeeding plantations, 'May the Lord make it like that of New England.' For we must consider that we shall be a city on a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in the work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his presence from us, we shall be a story and a byword through the world." And we all know what happens next. Massachusetts becomes the first colony to legalize slavery. They displace the native peoples, the ungodly, and dispossess generations who cultivated that land. Their sense of chosenness, of particularity, led them to genocide and to enslave fellow human beings. Whatever they did, they surmised, whatever happened for them to prosper was in accordance with God's will. It doesn't matter if it's good for anyone else, as long as it was good for the chosen people. I'm guessing some of these same fears, these same wonderings, are present for the writers of Genesis. Because the next story, the one placed right after the covenant of Sarah and Abraham, the future people of Israel, is a story about what you do with strangers. It's a story about what you do with people who are not like you. They show up out of nowhere. Nothing that tells us who they are or what they're doing. The narrator lets us in on a secret. The visitors aren't actually three people. It's God. It's the same God who just made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham runs out to greet these strangers, and he bows down before them, and he invites them to his table. In the Hebrew, Abraham actually says, "Please," three times in the next sentence. "Please, my Lord, please, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Please, let a little water be brought." I think you get the picture. It's full of compassion and respect and honor. And this next part is actually kind of sweet. Let me just bring for you a small appetizer so you can quickly refresh yourself. And then do you see what Abraham does next? He runs and he pulls Sarah, not a servant, not even Hagar. Sarah, the covenant, the carrier of the covenant, he pulls her in. "Quick, get some flour, make some cakes, get that really good calf. Oh, and we need some milk and cheese." And it's not just a little morsel that Abraham puts before three strangers. It's a church potluck. The Bible wants us to be very clear that it isn't just a meal that happened to be prepared for Abraham and he happens to share with others. Because Abraham sits to the side. He doesn't even eat the food. He wants to make sure that his guests are full first. He wants them, not him, to enjoy the best of what he has to offer. Greater is hospitality than receiving the divine presence. It's a line that the rabbis use in the Talmud when they reflect on this story. The first act of the people of God, those chosen for special relationship to be set apart by the Creator, is to drop everything they have and to bring their best for strangers. The first act of Abraham and Sarah in their covenant life is to open their table to neighbors who they do not know, to whom they owe nothing, from whom they will receive nothing, strangers who could be enemies or danger to them. To recognize being beloved of God is to see God in others. It wasn't long ago that someone asked me if I ever felt like my belief in Jesus ever made God too small. And I told him that nothing felt bigger because of stories like Sarah and Abraham meeting God in the hospitality of three strangers reminds me that God will come again in human life in Jesus Christ. Because of this very occasion with another opportunity is an opportunity to know the living God in another. As you all know, we are thinking about tables this year. The tables where we eat dinner, the food that comes to those tables, the people who sit around them, and what the ritual of the Lord's table means for this community at this time. This month of September, we're inviting you to give special attention to noticing the tables in our community. Where are the places in our city and county where people gather, where you might encounter God in a stranger? Where are the places where people gather around tables, and what can we learn there as a community about faith and commitment for the people who eat there together? We'd like to know what you see and what you hear so we can share it with each other, so your stories can become our story. And so throughout the month of September, we'd invite you to seek out those tables and report back on what's happening there. If you'd prefer an assignment, we have an option for that too. So there are these red sheets that will help us connect. If you know a place, like Place at the Table, you can write the name of it here in your name. You can visit that place, or you can leave it here, and someone else can pick up this card and go visit. We ask you to put your name in case someone has some questions for you. When you visit, you can bring this back and just write down a little bit about what you saw or experienced there. What was the food like? Who did you meet? Where was God present or absent at that table? As we go to places like Place at the Table or a soup kitchen, share a family meal or a neighborhood potluck, we ask you to look with new eyes, with the eyes of a people who know we are loved because we see God in others, who our belovedness welcomes the belovedness of those around us. For truly, greater is hospitality than receiving even the divine presence. Amen.